Okay, this is the sixth and final session for this year on Haggadah. Davar acher b'yad chazakot shatayim u'bizran etu yashatayim. I mentioned that it means that since the pasuk uses double words or words that are plural, so and you add them up together, they come out as 10. That's a remez to asara makot. Right? These are remes for Asara Makot. Now, the when it comes to Asara Makot, I've mentioned it. I think that should be a very good focus, especially for the kids, to bring the Makot to life. This is Haggadah here. It's called Haggadah Berura. And in the bottom of it, it brings all the Midrash Chazal. And when it comes to the Makot, has a couple pages of all the different Midrashim on Makot. Why did each Makot come and how each Makot was. For example, you know, you have a dam, it goes through dam. Sephardiah, all the Chazal here, Kinim, Dever. It brings different Chazal. It's something good to speak out, to make it real for the kids. If you don't have time to spend time on all of them, so you don't do all of them. You do a few, and then you know you do a few the other night. But it's important to bring out these Asara Makot. The Torah emphasizes on these Asara Makot. Torah says, "Leman tesaper beod." Why am I bringing this Makot on Paro? In order for you to tell it over to your children and your grandchildren, how I played around with the Mitzrayim, how I treated them, how I played around with them. So you need to bring it out. It's a mitzvah to bring it out. Ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu really brought these Asara Makot on the Mitzrayim.
Which part of the whole Yitzhak Mitzrayim is the focus? For a person?
All
is
of it.
Is it going out? Is it the
all of it.
He's trying to say if you could do only one Nekuda, which is the...
All of it. Matchilin Begenai, Mesayimim Beshevach. What do we say? Mitechila. I'm sorry. Avadim ha'inu lefaro b'Mitzrayim, v'yotzienu Hashem, right? Misham b'yad chazakot b'zran netuya. Then we were avadim to paro in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out. What does that mean? We were avadim to paro in Mitzrayim.
In everywhere,
right? The way they treated us, mentally, the way they beat us mentally. How did Hashem take us out? Decided to go out. So it's basically
you undo the evil part and then you take him out. You can't just take him out. There's no point of just taking it out.
Exactly. You have to tell him what you were going through, and how they treated us, and how Hashem saved us and brought us out. So if you can't say the whole thing, say that in a smaller version. But you can't. It's not one point to focus on. It's the message, the whole story to focus on. Do I need to speak out what each Makkah is for? So one Midrash says, why was Makkah Dam? Well, Makkah Dam was one of the simple ones, you know, because they killed the children. Or it says that they used to hit the people with their whips so much that their blood would flow out of their body, right? The Midrash brings a situation of a very, it's heart-wrenching. I don't think you could mention it in either Pesach because it's too strong. But it brings out the point. Midrash says there was one time the husband was working in mixing mud with his feet, right, to make bricks. And he was behind. You know, they had to give a certain number of bricks. And that's another thing that they would make the Jews mix up the mud bare feet, and all the straw would scratch their feet, and their blood would flow into the bricks. So one of the things that the Midrash says that this guy was working so hard, and he was behind. His wife, who was pregnant, came to help him, and she started working hard, you know, punching and beating the mud. And it was so much strain on her that she miscarried, and the all the miscarriage stuff, the baby and everything, just fell into the mud and got mixed into the mud, right? So it was one of those things that it says that they really were crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Other, on the, another midrash that says that they used to take the children, and you know, if a person did not do the number of bricks that he had to do, they would take his kids and they would put it inside the building instead of the bricks. So the kid would fit in the hole for where the brick was supposed to be. So these are heart-wrenching, you cannot say it. But, it's, you know, it's, once the kids are a little bit older, or you have a situation to describe it, you could describe it. Why did the Sephardiyah come? So the Midrash says one reason was because they did not allow the Jews, they did not allow the Jews to daven. So, and the Sephardiyah would make noise to show that you don't allow the Jews to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midah kineged midah, I'm going to send you something that would make noise for you.
24/7.
Right. Lama Evi Alim Sephardim. Oh, no, and Midrash is another thing, that they used to get the Jews to bring different animals, to go gather animals for them. And this way, they would play with animals. Okay, why did they have kinim? Because they didn't allow the Jews to take a shower. So because of that, their body became full of kinim. Why did they bring them a robe? They would get the Jews to go and capture wild animals, because they wanted to have wild animals either for their zoo or for whatever they wanted. They would get the Jews to go and get them. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought wild animals on them. Why did bring Dever on them? For the animals to die? Because they made the Jews shepherds on their animals. So whatever they made the Jews do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid them back. Midah kineged midah, what they did.
Did the Jews really build a city? Midrash says those cities really were in the muddy or sandy place that the cities wasn't built. Gadrun, but it's mashma the cities exist, no?
Today the cities exist?
No, I'm saying then, even the cities.
So they have cities, right?
It's not that they said that anything they built was for nothing.
No, Pitom and Ramses was for nothing.
But there were other cities that they
built. There were other things that they did, yeah. The Pitom and Ramses was for nothing. And they had, in other words, they had different different jobs, different categories of different ways of breaking the Jews. You know, to some of them they did made this work and it fell. To others, they actually built the house, you know, built things for them. Others, they got them to work, you know, like the Midrash says, to go catch animals or to do different things for them. Why did they bring Barad on them? They brought Barad because they made the Jews take care of their gardens. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed all the gardens with Barad. That's why he brought Barad on them. Why did they bring Arbe? He made some of Israel Zor Echitim because they made the Jews plant wheat. So he brought Arbe. Barad destroyed the trees. And Arbe ate all the grass and vegetation. The grass would not get destroyed.
I was thinking the fire didn't destroy everything.
I guess not everything, right? Because the vegetation was still there.
But what was Shechin for?
Shechin was because... I didn't speak it out.
Yeah,
he says because they made the Jews to make warm hot water for them, meaning heat up water for them, or cool off water for them, because they wanted to have their bathhouses, and they made the Jews those who would take care of the bathhouses. So this way they would enjoy. So the same body that enjoyed from Jews working so hard, that same body became full of oil. Why did he bring Choshech on them? He says because it was in order for the older Jews who didn't want to come out of Mitzrayim to die. That's why he brought Choshech.
Wasn't it for the punishment
of Mitzrayim? It was on them too, but you know, it says because they made life for them so dark.
That was
not what the Kinnim did. But they made life for them dark. And Makat Bechorot was for Bnei Bechor Yisrael. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, I used to put simanim. Rabbi Yehuda used to put simanim on this Asfar HaMakot. The Tzach Adash Ba'achav. I spoke about this simanim. If you don't mind, I mentioned that the Makot are divided into three categories. The first category was to prove to Paro that Ani Hashem. Second category was to show Paro that Ani Hashem. Begereb Ares. Right? In the world. You know, it's not just a God who is in Shamaim. He has power on the earth. And then the last one was Ani Hashem and Kamoni Begereb Ares. There's no one who's like me. No one can challenge me. So that's why the Makud are divided into three.
Is this the Rabbi Hanasi?
No, this is Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Loi. You know, Rabbi Yudah Matachonofa used to say, Gemara says in Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda was Rosh Medaberim B'chol Makom. Why Rosh Medaberim? Because there was a gathering of Chachamim, and they started talking about the Roman government, and Rabbi Yehuda said that, they take care of us. Said something good. So Romans heard about it, and they made him that every time there is a speech, he'll be the head speaker, master speaker. Right? That's when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ran away, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said something that was against the government, and they started chasing him, and he ran away. So Rabbi Yudaman used to say, why did they make Rabbi Yudah Rosh Medaberim? Why was Rabbi Yudah Zoche to become Rosh Medaberim B'chol Makom? What was his Zechut?
He's good putting everything.
Because Rabbi Yudah, whatever he wanted to say, said it short. Short and sweet. Instead of saying Dam, Sephardiya, Arov, Kinim, Dever, Shechin, Barad, Arab, the Tzach Adash Bacha. Make it nice and short and sweet, so you become the best speaker, you know. Rosh Medaberim B'chol Makom. That's what he used to say.
But this is not Rabbi Hanasi, that's the problem.
No, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Ben
Lai, everybody. It's the same Rabbi Yehuda here, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda in Yom Shabbat.
Oh, but not Rabbi Hanasi.
No, not Rabbi Hanasi. Rabbi Hanasi is either referred to as Rabbi Hanasi or Rabbi. Every time you say Sam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. That's Rabbi Rabbi Lai, who's a Tan, who was the Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi together. Okay, the next pieces, three members, talk about how these makot were not just the 10 makot, but they had different aspects. People do not necessarily understand what this means. They read it, they're tired already, and the 10 makot you spoke out, and they're waiting for Dayenu. It's right before Dayenu. Okay? They're not in the mood. Okay? So they want to read and go. But it's good to keep in mind what it means. It says, how do you know that the makot, that the Mitzrayim were hit? In Mitzrayim they were hit 10, Al Hayom Raku 50 Makot. Right? So Al Hayom Raku 50 Makot, you understand? I'm going to tell you a beautiful word from the Gaon. Why? Because in Mitzrayim it says, Etzba Elokim. Was an Etzba by Makat Kinim. By the Yam it says, Yad Hashem. Yad has five fingers. So 5 times is 50. 5 times 10 is 50. So Zog Dagon Mevilna, what the pshat? There it says, finger, here's his hand. He says, when you want to warn a child, how do you warn him? When you want to punish the child, how do you punish him? So in Mitzrayim, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Mitzrayim was a warning. It wasn't a punishment. It was a warning. You know, come on, I'm gonna do this. You better watch out. Al Hayyam was it. That's it. Yes, she wanted to destroy them. That was the act. So if that was the warning, the etzba, every makkah was an etzba, and that was 10 warnings in the yam, which was the hand, which was the real makkah, was 5 times as much. Was the real patch. After Givaldi Gavur. Is another, I saw a word from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, and this is also a beautiful idea. He says that, oh, I thought you wanted to call my he says that when the Makat Kinim come, what did the Chachmei Mitzrayim say? It's by Elokim. Right? It's a finger of Hashem. So what does a finger of Hashem mean? He says, you have a kid, okay? The kids are playing in this room. Somebody outside behind the window raises one finger from behind the window. Any kid who sees that finger would run outside or run by the window. He knows this finger is attached to a hand. Hand is attached to a person. Whose finger is this? Let's go see the person. Right? They're not going to say, what did you see? I saw a finger. You didn't see a finger. You saw a person who stuck up his finger. You know, showed his finger. What did his heart to him say? It's a finger of God. What is a finger of God? It's God. They would see the finger and they would not want to admit that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing it. It's a finger of God. Right? Well, is there a God too? It's a finger of God. So he says that, you know, many times in life we admit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is at work. We should know if Hashem's hand is at work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is at work. He's there. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer says that every makkah was of four aspects. What does that mean, four aspects? Every makkah that came was with... There's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim, when he wants to talk about the makkot that came, the pasuk in Tehillim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the makkah, Charon Apo, Evra, Vazam, Vesara, Mishlach HaMalachei Ra'im. There are five words that are used. Rabbi Eliezer says the first one, Charon Apo, is talking of general term, which is Makot, but the Makot came with Evra, Zam, Sara, and Mishlach HaMalachei Ra'im. So every Makot had accompanied four things. So the first we speak out a beautiful word on this. That we think that the Makot that came, Dam came, so it had a certain effect on the society, on the community. And that was it. The Midrash says, Rabbi Eliezer says, it affected them in all different ways. It didn't just affect them physically. It affected them financially. It affected them emotionally. Now, he doesn't say in that lashon. But, right? It affected them in all different ways. It wasn't just their makkah, they didn't have water to drink. They didn't have water to drink, but that means they have to deal with lack of water for a whole week. Emotionally, they're bothered. That means their finances, their economy was affected. It affected all different things, in the Mitzrayim. So don't look at a makkah as one makkah. That makkah had so many aspects, affected many things. Whether it was four, or he was five. Rabbi Akiva says it was five. I'm not going to get into the machlokes of why he says four, why he says five.
Whatever he's saying, this time was five. In Yamsa was five times.
Exactly.
So if this was 50, then that would be 200.
200, and that would, right. If it's 40, it would be 200. If it's 50, it would be 250. Right. Why do we say this? Why do we have Rabbi Yossi HaGalili and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva saying this? Because it's a pretext to the next piece. We want to get from saying all those good things about the Yetziat Mitzrayim to bring a certain appreciation in us and in our kids for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciated, that we appreciate what Hashem did for us. That's a Dayenu. Therefore we say, Al-Achad, Kama, V'Kama, Tuva, Kefula, U'Mchufelet Alenu. How much we are indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for HaKarat HaTov. He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. The idea of the night of Pesach is you talk about so much about the Yetziat Mitzrayim that when you get to Hallel, you want to sing the Hallel. Now you want to fall asleep at the Hallel. You will fall asleep at the Hallel. You want to sing the Hallel. Okay?
Half past two. It's blocking the script.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say the Hallel when you're already said it once.
Yeah, but that Hallel, you just had the third cup. You have a full stomach. Okay? And it's not just hard. People are already, you know.
It's a long Hallel.
The best way to do it is to sing it. If you sing it, people will sing through it. Huh?
You need a couple of
years
to sing with.
That's right. So if you start singing it with your kids, Be'ez Hashem, a few years from now, your kids will sing it with you. That's the only way. That is the only way.
That's why you need boys.
Right. You need... Well, no, love that call. I sing it with my girls. My girls sing it with me. It depends who we have. You know, sometimes...
Girls are better
than yeah. Yeah, my brother gets and the girls can't sing, but the younger ones sing. You know, there were times that we all sang together. You know, all the girls and the boys. And the idea is if you sing it, your kids will learn to sing it. So if you sing it with them, even though they're not so interested, and you're sort of nudging them, it comes in a few years that they're going to sing it to you or with you.
Make sure your kids
have
a club.
Oh, there we are. And you sing it, you know. Okay, the last piece, I'm going to conclude with this because there's more to it, but you're not going to have time. The last piece, you know, I don't want you to fall asleep over here. We didn't get to Hallel yet, you're falling asleep. You got to do Dayenu. This is where everybody else. The last piece is. That Rabbi Gamliel says anyone who didn't say these three things, he was not Yotze. So Rabbi Ovadia says the ladies who are not able to follow the Haggadah or they're not able to sit through everything or whatever, they should say these three things. They should take part in this. They should also take part in part that we say that Avadim Vayinu Lefaro Bemisrayim Vayetzianu Hashem, but that usually they are there. It's right after Ma'anishtana. That part, they're there. But even if they, in the middle, they get up or they do something or the kids get them busy, this part, they should say the Pesach that they ate, why they ate, and Matzah that we eat, why we eat, Maror that we eat, why we eat it, should speak it out. This
the reason that we do it, you have to speak, or just you have to say Pesach, Matzah?
No. Speak out. You have to say, what is the point of eating this Pesach, and what's the message?
The message is what they brought, or we
have. That's right. That's what he says. Why do we eat Pesach? Why do we call on Pesach? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our houses. So that's why we call on Pesach as a zecher for the fact that, I mean, it's a mitzvah d'oraita. But what's the message of it? The message is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanot on our houses. Just like when it comes to Sukkot. Why do you say that the Sukkah? Because Hashem put Israel in the Sukkah when it came out of Mitzrayim. Right? Here is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our houses. Why do we eat Matzah?
When he said, you're not Yosef, what?
Sibur Yosef Mitzrayim. You missed the boat.
Why would you not be Yosef Sibur Yosef? It seems more much matter that you're not Yosef the...
if you want to compare it to Sukkah,
no, I'm comparing it. Lo yotzei yedei chovato. He's not yotzei yedei chova. Means he said whatever good things that he said, but he did not fully fulfill it. He said other things, and it's good whatever he said. But these three things are ma'akir. These three things are essential. They should be said. Not that it's as if he didn't do anything. He did what he did. But he's not finished his job yet. He cannot say, well, I said everything. What do I need to say this? No, this is essential. So, it says in the Haggadah, and you have to explain it to your children in the language that they understand. You can't just read it. You have to speak it out. These three things, you need to speak it out. So, why we eat matzah? Because Hashem rushed them out of Israel. And why maror? Because by maror ruach chayim.
The second for sure. Because only rushed them out of Israel, not because they ate matzah in Israel.
Right, that's correct.
It doesn't hold up that
shit. No, I mean, the pasuk doesn't say that. It says, by yafuit abosek asher utiyum emisraim ugod matzot. The pasuk says in Parashat Kitetze that you should eat matzah because tibech kipozon yasad emisraim.
It's
tomorrow
first, no? The order is not correct.
No.
Meaning the order of what happened. First you were in Shavuot, then we had.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But the lashon of the pasuk is Pesach. You know, it's you should eat it on matzah and maror. The pasuk says that. I'm sorry, not Parashat Kitese. Parashat Re'eh. The pasuk says that lo tochal alav chametz shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem oni. You should eat matzah, which is lechem oni, ki bechipazon yatzad meretz Mitzrayim, because you came out of Mitzrayim rushing out. You should eat matzah because you came out of Mitzrayim rushing. So you see that matzah is the idea of having come out of Mitzrayim quickly. Right, that's why it brings a pasuk that they baked the dough in a form of matzah because it didn't become chametz because they were rushed out of Mitzrayim. And maror is because by maror was chayehem. And after that, you start halel. And you say halel nicely to the end.
You do part of halel first, then you eat, and then you finish.
Right. The reason that we do part of halel first and then we eat is because we want to connect Haggadah to Halil. It's not enough that just to say over what happened in Yad Mitzrayim. You have to show your appreciation.
Why don't you just say the whole thing?
Because we want the rest of the Halil that the cup should associate with it. So the fourth cup goes for the Halil. But we don't want to complete the first cup is Kiddush. Second cup is on Haggadah. The third cup is Birkat Hamazon. The fourth cup is Halel. Right? So the second cup, which is Haggadah, you should say it after these Rabbi Gamliel. These three things that you say. But we don't stop it. We say two parts of Halel, because Halel is a part of Haggadah. In a certain way. You have to connect it. Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he did all these things for us. Lefikach, אנחנו חייבים להודות, להלל, לשבח, לפאר. That's why we are obligated to praise Hashem for all the good things that He did for us.
Meaning, you're not, the point is that you're connecting it to you. Okay, very nice having 3,000 years ago, but that's your halal. The point of halal is thank you. You did it for me, not
personally,
today.
Exactly. That's why, now that you said that, yeah, you're smart. That's why the piece before it says in every generation a person should show himself or see as if he himself came out of Mitzrayim. So you have to make it personal. Once I make it personal, I say thank you. So you say those pieces of halel as a thank you to start, then you eat, then you say the rest of the halel afterwards.
This is finished, no?
Right.
Then halel starts.
So you say halel, and then you make a bracha after two parts of halel. It's a bracha on the Haggadah. On the saying the Haggadah. and you drink the second cup. The reason, and that's why we have halal in shul, after davening, because really the Ikar Halal is here in the Haggadah. And we really should make a bracha of Ligmore the Halal in the Haggadah. But since we are mapstick in between and we eat, we can't make a bracha on it. It will be hefsek. So that's why we say a full halal in shul with a bracha, instead of the fact that this halal we're not going to be able to say bracha. Ashkenazim don't say halal. Hasidim do. They don't.
What's the story? You think the only reason they did it because of the bracha? Anyways, they make bracha.
To be able to make a full halal with bracha.
They do it on Rosh Chodesh, but they have they make bracha. So
yeah, but here in the meal they don't, because it's not a half halal. It's missing. And these are the only two halals, the two nights. The only two times in the year, the whole year, that ladies are obligated to say halal with bracha. So you could tell your ladies obligated to say halal with bracha. So before you come home from shul, or after you come home from shul, you tell your wives to say halal with bracha, full halal with bracha.
You need to say it as a part
of that. It's a part of the process. All the mitzvot of the night of Pesach, ladies are obligated. So they're obligated to four cups. Matzah, Maror, Afikoman, Korech, Haggadah, Halel, all of them.
This Halel is bigger than the Halel in the Sidurim. Which Halel is
it? Yes. The Halel that we say, they say the Halel in the Sidurim. Exactly, with the Bracha. The same Halel we say in Shul. Over here, beside the Halel that we say, the Gemara says you have to say Halel HaGadol. The Gemara says, what's the Halel HaGadol? The Gemara says, Shaila was Halel HaGadol. Beside the Halel that we say. Halel HaGadol, there are those who say, is the Odu Lashem Kitov Kiri Olam Chasu, the long Odu Lashem. The one you say before Baruch Shamar and Shabbat. Others say, Halel HaGadol is Nishmat. So you put it all together.
What's the story with Chagaya? What's
the story with
this thing?
It's a, you should know, okay.
Did we say what's the
Poshut Pshat is they put some songs at the end of Seder. There's some songs, just like Piyu Team.
Yeah, okay.
However, before she will speak out that this Piyu Team have a lot of messages in there. And it's good to say it. And at least don't make fun of it.
That's fine, it's just. I'm going
maybe they'll learn it like this.
This is
like a... Yeah, there are different Peshat. I'll tell you one Peshat. Okay? This is not a fully Hagon of Vilna, but... This is yours, Zechut, that I found this. The first year that I was in the yeshiva...
But my
Zechut was a... Zechut I've been missing this. The first year I was in the yeshiva...
Let me just find them now.
I knew I had it,
really?
But I was missing it for a while. I didn't know.
So,
first I was in the yeshiva before I went to town. Before Pesach, I made some of the Devar Torahs, wrote some stuff that I'll be able to say.
Rabbi, can you do this year?
Huh? I'm telling you.
Not faded out.
It was in the middle of one of the Haggadahs, but I never saw it. I don't usually use this Haggadah the same. Anyway, so he says like this. He says, Chad Gadya. Who's a Chad Gadya? Chad Gadya is one pshat. Is Chad Gadya is Yosef. Follow Yosef. Yosef. Some say Chad Gadya refers to Beit HaMikdash. Right? Some say Chad Gadya is Klal Israel.
Who wrote this period
here? We don't know. Right. And some say Chad Gadya refers to Yosef HaTzadik. Whoever wrote it years back. So he says let's do one of them that is Yeah. Here you go. So, one of them says like this. He says, The Chagyadia is talking about Beit HaMikdash. Okay? It's Beit HaMikdash called Gedi. And the Pasuk says, Karmeh en Gedi. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And it brings the Raya for it. And Ata Shundra, Shundra is really a cat, probably a wild cat. A regular cat cannot attack a little goat, probably a wild cat. Ata Shundra, this is Nebuchadnezzar. Right, as the Midrash says, Shundra ze melech Babel, sonera, Shundra, sonera, a bad enemy. So Nebuchadnezzar that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash came and ate the goat. And then came Kalba, who's Kalba? Ze Koresh, melech Paras. Why was it called Kalba? The Midrash says that Koresh was fed by a dog, was nursed by a dog, because he was born out of the city, and his mother left him behind, and a dog came and nursed him. So that's based on the Midrash. So he came and destroyed the Malchut of Nebuchadnezzar. Ata Chutra, stick came and hit the dog. Who's the stick? Malchut Yavan. Why Yavan is called a stick? Because the Midrash says Yavan Sherodeh B'Makel. Yavan rules with a very strong hand, like with a stick. Who's the stick? That's a stick. And that's Alexander the Great that came and destroyed Malchut Paras. Ve'ata Nura, fire came and burned the stick. Who's the fire? Chashmonaim. You know, the menorah, the light of the menorah that came and defeated the Yivani. That's Chashmonaim. Okay? And then the water came and put out the fire. Whose water is the Malchut Aram? Right? Because the Midrash says, Kol Maim Rabim Zeu Aram. Who was Aram? What did Aram have to do with Chashmonaim? Because they took over, he says, historically, it took over the Gedula from the Chashmonaim.
Who's Aram anyway?
Aram is Syria. Okay, Syria, the Syrians were the first group that joined forces with the Romans and went against Kilalis and Baicheni. So they joined forces with the Romans. So these are the Aram is the Syrians.
They're getting it, huh?
Huh?
They're getting it.
Oh, not the that's right. The Ata Torah, and then a cow came and drank up that water. The Malchut Ishmael, right? Malchut Ishmael is the cow that came. Now others say, by the way, others say that it's not Aram. The Girsa is Edom, not Aram. The shadow of what the Girsa is. That if you say Edom makes more sense, because Edom was Romans that they came and they defeated the Chashmonaim and destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash. Now then Ishmael comes and takes away the Malchut from Edom. Okay, happening now in Europe, and they're taking over slowly. And not only that, they would take the Melucha. They would establish their melucha in Eretz Israel. V'ata shochet, shochet comes to shecht the Ishmael. They're still doing it more. They're planning to do it more. You know what Erdogan said last week?
Who?
Erdogan. Erdogan. That's his name, Erdogan. Erdogan said that the Arabs should put together an army of 50 Arab nations. 50 Arab nations should put together an army of 50 Arab nations, and they should go and capture Israel.
He still hasn't learned his lesson, this guy.
Yeah. He doesn't understand how, like. Who's the Shochet? The Mashiach ben Yosef. That was going to come to do the Milchama. V'ata Malach HaMavet? This part is easy. Is the Mashiach ben Yosef is going to get killed in the. In the Melchama, the Nishchai says, the person should dab and that it shouldn't happen. Right? And, that's when Hashem comes and he defeats all the nations, and the Mashiach ben David will come and will take over. That's one matter.
The Mashiach ben David already started. Some say,
well, he himself hasn't come yet.
Right, but like the whole like Gog and Magog.
So the question is how exactly these milchamos take place? Who is the Mashiach ben Yosef? Maybe Mashiach ben Yosef already came too. We don't know. But that's one question.
What is his role, Mashiach ben Yosef?
Mashiach ben Yosef is a leader that comes from Shevet Yosef. Job of Yosef is to gather everything and give it over to David.
You mean everybody?
Everything.
Is it possible to be a non-religious Jew?
Now hold on. Right, to gather everything and give it to David. Right, that's the job of Sefirat Yesod, the sixth Sefirah. Right, to gather things and give it over to Malchut. So that's why Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim gathered his brothers. That's why Yosef HaTzadik gathered all the grains. He's a gatherer. That's the name Yosef. Yosef means to gather. Musif, add up, gather up. And so Mashiach ben Yosef's job is to basically
out of galut, gather,
pull the Jews together, make them in the milchamas, and then Mashiach when and then hand it over to do Mashiach, which is Malchut ben David. That's the Malchut.
Could be gathering, not the gathering in a straw that is started right with something.
Maybe, but that's not enough. It has to be gathering of all the Jews. So can he be a non-religious Jew? I doubt it. He doesn't have to be. Mashiach ben Yosef apparently doesn't have to be a tremendous Tamil Chacham. Mashiach ben David, Rambam says, has to be someone that when he declares himself Mashiach, everyone would accept.
He has to self-declare Mashiach?
Yes. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. Which means that Hashem would appear to him and say, or reveal to him, he says, go. You know, like all the Nevi'im. Right,
but that would only happen if it's a big gadol and everyone follows.
Exactly, Rambam says that it has to be someone that when he says who he is, people say, "Wow, for him, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it should be Mashiach."
Yeah, but you don't have a gadol like that.
Yes. The whole door, what door? There is somebody.
If Rav Shach. Right now, in this generation, it's Rav Chaim. He's like the ultimate.
Okay. And if it's not Rav Chaim, it's not a Gadol. There are Gedolim that you and I don't know them,
right,
but the other Gedolim know them. Right? Other Gedolim respect them. So Rav Chaim is Gadol Ador. Okay? Okay? So
man, I'm the Adam, there's nobody else.
Right.
Like, even for Spider-Man.
It doesn't have to be the Gadol Ador.
The
Gadol Ador doesn't have to be, but it has to be someone somebody that others would respect him. They don't have to all bow down to him to begin with. But they have to respect
this person has to be in Eretz Yisrael or could be anywhere.
Rambam says in Eretz Yisrael. He says he could be anywhere, but he would be an announcement. He would be appointed in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a good thing to say these things
end. What's the point? Like, okay, so very nice. So with all this
the story is because now it's the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. You look at the Jewish history. It's the time of Emunah. Right, reflecting on Emunah. That's why Echad Miyodeyash, Shinai Miyodeyah is also Emunah. Different things that they have. And the best thing to do after you finish the whole Agadah and all this Piyutim, you sit down and you say,
good morning.
Shira Shirim.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Ah, so Gishmak. You say Shira Shirim.
I thought I was going to say some Sigula or say, oh, Gishmak.
Yeah,
it's recording, but like, we, like,
those
Persians don't say
Shira
Shirim like
the
Syrians.
Right.
What do you mean, like,
isn't it like.
The Persians say it. The Persians do say it. Trust me, they say it. We don't say it. We've become rushers. Okay?
My father says it.
I was in Los Angeles.
I was in Los Angeles.
That's, you know what? Let me record it. It's good for everybody to hear. I was in LA. Okay? Somebody's wedding. And I came to a certain show. Right? The wedding was taking place in that show.
Okay.
Right? And I was early. I hadn't done a mincha yet. But I was still, it was earlier than that. So I went, I took my sefer, I went to the shul, started learning. Okay? Somebody walks in around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I asked him, is there mincha here today? He said, yes, 6 o'clock. Very good, thank you. So I continued learning. So this guy, an older man, he went and he brought some sidurim, he set it up. At 5:40, he starts to say, with a tune, והמשכילים יזהירו כי זו הרכייה no, I'm sorry, no, I mix it up, I apologize. Yeah, פתח אליהו, right? How does it start? No, right. והמשכילים יזהירו כי זו הרכייה ומצליח העולם כי כוכבים בעולם ועד. ואם נאמר השם אלוקינו עלינו, פתח אליהו, with a tune. 10 minutes he was saying פתח אליהו, with a tune. And five, six other guys were sitting there. They chimed in as he was saying. And then he started on Masayach. Also, one by one, with a tune. People were sitting. People gathered. 10 minutes before Mincha. Right? 5 o'clock, they started Ashrei. 6 o'clock, started Ashrei. You know, people come, they sit, they say it. I'm a Menuchot, Potach Eliyahu, and on Masayach. We, you come, okay, yalla. You see Lam Nasech in 2 minutes, Ashrei Yallah.
You know? Yeah, but that's the older generation. You see it in, like, in all the shows over there. They do it. Like, you see it in Torah Chaim, you see it in Omoshi, you see it in my family, you see it everywhere. They all do it. But I think it's just the younger generation, but I think the younger generation would do that in the future too.
We need to promote it. There's not a Shem, and we have a setup.
So what's Rebbe's thing in Shir Hashirim?
We should do that, Mr. Shem. So we need to get our own shoe with us.